This message today is not one that I came together with in the last day or two. I've been preaching in a series which is called Refocusing Godly Vision. It's all about 2020, and in the line of series components of the message, we're wrapping up, and we're coming down towards the very end, and these last couple really began to be about us today. And it was real interesting as I saw the things beginning to develop, as you have seen the things develop over the last few weeks, and you're like, wow, what's going to happen, and how are we going to do this, and what's really going to begin to be my journey of faith? And I'm not going to overstate the obvious, but I will just say to you, if you are alive and breathing and have a pulse and have any sense of what's going on in the world, you would probably go, there's a lot of people that think the future is really, really dark. Yes or no? You agree? I'm not asking you if you think the future is dark. I'm just saying, generally speaking, you look around and kind of go, man, the future is dark. There seems to be no hope. Would you agree? I need your help today, people. The issue is real because real people look really around and they go, man, I just don't know how all this is going to pan out. Get that? Pan. Too soon? Okay. Let me get to the end first. There is hope. So because there is hope, let me back up and let me begin to go through this. Imagine for a moment that you wrote a book of your life. And in that book, it just contained all of the good and the bad and just kind of all of those kinds of things. And in that book, you wrote down your goals and your mission. You wrote down your work. You wrote down your family. You wrote down the good times. You wrote down some tough times. You just began to write that book, and you've put it all together. You even titled it after your name. Just imagine that for a minute. It would be the book of Allison. It would be the book of Candy. It would be the book of Camila. It would be the book of, I mean, you would just have that book. John's got three of them. First John, come on. Second John. I happen to have two. First and second. Okay. So just imagine that, and then you came up with a life verse out of your book, which many of you have done. This book is called Jeremiah. The life verse out of Jeremiah happens in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And this passage of scripture, which many of you are going to become very familiar with, you're going to go, oh, I know that. And Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you, to give you a hope and a, say that out loud, to give you a what? To give you a what? A future. For I know, and so you write this down and you're like, oh man, that's my book. Everybody feeling good? Now, you wrote one book. It was such a great seller. You know what I should do? I should write a second book. We'll call it a sequel to my first book. Except for this book is different. This book is full of every difficulty that you have ever encountered in life. And you didn't call that book your name. You called that book Lamentations. For the book of Lamentations follows the book of Jeremiah, which is written by Jeremiah. And the book of Lamentations is written by Jeremiah, who also wrote his own book. And if you go, well, what is Lamentations? You all know what the word lament means. There's been a lot of that going on. A lot of lamenting. What is lamenting? It's like, oh God, there is no hope. That's lamenting. Imagine an entire book about lamenting, about lamentations. It's a book of sadness. It's a book of bleh. It's like a Hallmark movie that ends poorly. Said no one ever, right? They all end the same. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Why is he the weeping prophet? Well, God sent him to lead the nation of Israel, sinful, rebellious. And he's saying, here's what God wants for you. And they said, yeah, thanks, Jeremiah. We're just going to peace out and go do our own thing. And so Judah, also known as Israel, begins this journey in their own life, and they're completely disregarding God. Which for the prophet of God begins to literally cause tears. He was so broken over this nation of Judah, these people that he'd called to lead. He was so broken over them that he actually wrote a book of lament. Oh, God. And I'm beginning to think the irony of the timing of this. Judah refused to listen and obey. You understand probably like that's what that's like as a parent, especially. You say to your child, be careful, do this, be careful, don't do that. Don't go down this path, but go down this path. You know what that feels like. And then you also know the lament when the child looks at you and says, yeah, thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom, I'm going my own way. And you know the heartache, and you're just like, oh, my heart breaks. And then you ask the question, I wonder what their future is going to be like. That is exactly where the Lord led us today. Now, this is my introduction. Can you imagine all of the stuff going on in the world today? And saying the goodness of God brought you all here to hear a message from the Lord that says, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I've seen rebellious people before, he says. I've seen the weeping prophet stand before you and say, oh, please follow this way. And I know the Lord would say, I know what you are going through. And you look and you go, oh, God. The future looks really, really dark. So we're going to go through this. A couple of places to write, not a lot today. The question is this, what's going on with the future? And this is our refocus. This is how we take this message and we apply it to this 2020 refocusing godly vision. We have got to refocus our vision, especially when it comes to the future, whatever the future is like. So what's going on in the future? The future is uncertain in your life and in our life, and somehow we begin to blame God. You can write that down. The future is uncertain, and we begin to blame God. I know that most of us here would never go, oh, God, that's your fault. But I've been walking around this world for a while now, and I know that there's a lot of people that are going, how can God do this? How can God let this happen? How can this be? How can this be? How can this be? Jeremiah does this. Lamentations. Now, just go there. Chapter 3. You're just going to go there. You're going to hang out there. If you don't know where Lamentations is, go to Genesis and then turn right. And you're going to go a couple of blocks from there. And if you get to the book of Jeremiah, you're getting really, really close. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is from Jeremiah, and he says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. I don't know about you, but as I begin to read this, and sometimes we can resonate with that. We're like going, God, where are you? I've been good boy. God, where are you? I thought I did right. Where are you, oh God? Where have you been? What are you doing? And it's this, God, I want to know. Then, I know that never happens, but then you begin to count your situation. What do I mean by counting your situation? You begin to go down the list of things where you feel God blew it with you. Oh, that woman. Oh, that man. Oh, those kids. Oh, that job. Oh, those. And you begin to go down there. Here's what Jeremiah did. He has made my skin and flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. Somebody say self-quarantine. Sorry, my humor hasn't gone anywhere. Y'all might not be getting it, but I'm like, he has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He made my path crooked. Anybody feeling depressed yet? He's lamenting. I mean, this is what lament is. And he's just going down the list. Like a bear laying in wait, like a lion in the hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target of his arrow. Good night. He's not done. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel and has trampled me in the dust. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. Enter sarcasm. Because isn't that what happens when things don't go the way that we sometimes feel that they should go? We begin to count the ways in which God somehow has abandoned us and has made me be the brunt of the jokes, made me feel worse than I should, made me feel like my teeth have been ground by gravel and I've been the subject of God's piercing arrow in my heart. I mean, you begin to read this, you're like, and all of a sudden you just kind of, at the top of your lungs, God, why are you doing this? If you've ever felt like God has forgotten you, this is the story of lament. You know, right now, in our world, not just our country, but in our world, there are countless thousands of people who feel as though God has left them. If there is ever a time for a timeless message to be spoken, it is this, to be able to say, there is a book in the Bible that says exactly what many people are feeling. God has not forgotten you. Here's the next thing. What's going on with the future? The future is uncertain, and my comfort is rocked. How do I know my comfort is rocked? When the things that we used to throw in our friend's tree as a joke becomes the thing that people will stand in line for and wait hours for, and I'm talking about toilet paper. If you've never TP'd someone's house, you are missing out. But apparently it's now a felony because that's worth more than $400, so you can't do that anymore either. My comfort gets rocked, and then I somehow begin to continue on with my lamenting. Verse 17. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. In other words, my comfort has been rocked. Anybody feel like your comfort has been rocked? It's okay to say, yeah, that's me. It's okay. I mean, don't feel bad if you go, hey, first of all, I'm glad you're here, so I'm glad that there's somebody's hand that can go up. But honestly, I think worldwide we could all look and go, hey, you know what? Our comfort, my comfort has been rocked. We used to just kind of sit back and chill and kind of go, hey, isn't that great? How do I know that? Begin to think about that. When comfort is rocked, comfort is compromised. When comfort is compromised, we begin to ask, where's God now? Verses 18 through 20. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I'd hoped for from the Lord, all of that is gone. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Affliction, wandering, depression, gall, bitterness. I mean, you get these are very clear descriptive words. If you are feeling this, within the sound of my voice, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Why? Because He is way maker, miracle maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. It's time for you to go, I've either got faith or I don't have faith, because Jeremiah is going through this whole thing and he's saying, I don't know. God, where are You? Where are You? Here's the whole list. And here's all the things. Do you know, we actually had somebody standing in line at Walmart this morning at 5:30 to get toilet paper for you all. You don't know that, do you? You take it for granted that you go into the restroom and you use it, and you go, oh, it's just always going to be there. But we actually had somebody stand in line so that we can have toilet paper so that the church can function. These are real emotions that people really feel. So please don't feel as though I'm coming down and saying, oh, if you have these emotions, you're wrong. These are real emotions. But we want to allow the Lord to come in. Here's where we go. What's going on with the future? Future's hope is found in but God alone. This is where the church just begins to shine. World that outside of God has little or no hope. They're placing their hope in whatever they can grab a hold of. And yet what I'm able to say to you this morning is in but God alone, but God alone, but God alone. There is nothing necessary but God alone. But God knows, but God has not left the building, but God has not left the planet, but God has not abandoned us, but God is still available, but God, but God, but God. Verse 21, this was the three-quarter mark from earlier in worship. Jeremiah says this. Remember this, we've gone 20 verses. And Jeremiah is just crying out to the Lord. And we get to verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Yet I remember this. Show of hands, how many of you can say God's done something amazingly good to me? Show of hands. Look around. Keep them up. Look around. Look around. Look at, this is amazing. God's done something amazingly good for you, yet this I remember. Go back and remember that God's done something amazingly good for you. Go back and remember everything the Lord has done, every promise He has fulfilled. There is not one of us that has not called on the Lord for a divine bailout. Oh God, I need a divine bailout. Anybody need a divine bailout? You know what that is? When the Lord just comes in and goes, you can't afford it, you can't do it, you don't have the skills, you don't have the talents, you don't have the resources to do it, but I do, and I'm going to give you a divine bailout. Go back and remember that. How many of you guys were like completely freaked out over the stock market this week? Sure, right? Freaked out, just freaked out. How many of you guys in November and December when the thing was going skyrocketing, we're going, woo! Hypocrite. Yet this I remember. Do you think God really gives a rip about the stock market? Price of gas. Honestly, that's your comfort. That's your comfort. And what God is saying is, you derive comfort from me. I will give you comfort. Let's go on. Here's all of a sudden Jeremiah begins to remember that. He'll do it again. Verses 22 through 24. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Say this out loud with me. Great is Your faithfulness. So I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. What do we do when the future seems dark? I underlined the last part of verse 24. The Lord is my portion. I will wait for Him. I will wait for Him. Now, does that take away the current situation? Take it away? Does it make it go away? Does it like, oh, doesn't exist anymore? But here's what it does. It changes my perspective from watching whatever can be classified as either real or fake news. I don't know. But it makes me focus on God, who is my portion, who is my source. Verses 25 through 27, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. What does Jeremiah mean by it? It's good for the man to bear the yoke. In other words, it's good for the man to learn how to shoulder some tough stuff. It's good for us to go through some difficulty from time to time to strengthen yourself, to get strong. Bill, listen, I can stand here. I am now an ancient old man. I get it. Facebook reminded me of that yesterday. I had a birthday. I'm an ancient old man. I can say that because I've been through that. Some of you don't want to go through that. So you want to be saved from that. But the Lord says, go through that when you're young, so that when you are older, you can say to those, I've been through that, and you will get through that. So God wants to help you to get through that while you're still able to get through that, so that when you get to that, you're like going, oh, I can do this. And some of you are going, well, what's that? Go look in the mirror. That's what that is. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. I will not participate in current hysteria, because that does not demonstrate my hope in the Lord. But I will be wise. I will be wise. I encourage you to grow and to learn and to be wise. Some of you right now are fitting your neck with the yoke that the Lord is placing on you, and you're like going, this is hard. You're right. It is. And it will be hard for a while. But the Lord will allow you the strength as you grow and you become accustomed to it. And you're like going, okay, I thought it was going to be really, really hard. It's not so bad. Verses 31 through 32. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Wait a minute. I thought this was the end of days. I thought this was the end of time. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. So there's going to be a difficult time. Okay, anybody promise that your life was just going to be perfect? You're never going to have any difficulty? That everything grows up roses and it's just like perfect? I don't remember that. In fact, I remember Jesus saying something like, in this world there's going to be some stuff. But don't worry about that. Take heart. I've overcome the stuff. All you got to do is get on the bandwagon and say, I believe in his stuff so that I can get through my stuff. Verse 39, why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? Now, uh-oh. Now all of a sudden the doomsdayers are going, oh, it's sin. That's why we have this. No. People get sick, they get sick. People don't die or get sick because they had sin. Die because their heart stopped beating. And with sin, you're not reconciled with God, you're doomed. God alone is good enough. God alone is good enough. But God, but God, but God, but God. So then, here we go. What are we to do? Verses 40, 41. Let us examine our ways, test them. Let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. Check that out. Now, I don't know if you're a grammar student at all, but I want you to think through this. The first 39 verses were written singularly. God, why are you punishing me? I'm going through this. I'm going through this. You've done this to me. I feel this. And then there's this subtle but very significant shift that occurs. And he says, now let us. What is he saying? He's saying to the nation of Judah, Judah, raise up. Judah, raise your hands. Judah, return to the Lord. Judah, let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God. Now all of a sudden it becomes, let us all do this. Let us all do this. And it comes from God, you've punished me, but then Jeremiah says, but let us. Let us. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands after you wash them and sanitize them to God in heaven. Do you know the Bible even talks about that? Wash your hands, sinners. You don't believe me? Look it up. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts. Wash your hands, sinners. So right now, I feel like I'm one of the smartest people in the room. Here's why. For the last 25 years, I've been a germaphobe. And I've regularly washed my hands. I've regularly sanitized. And I'm like, oh, well, duh, now you guys are getting on the bandwagon. Here's what I want to close with. And I'm going to ask the band to come back. Karen, is Ellie close by or no? Cool. Is she sleeping down there? She's good. Go grab her, please. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Now, there's a lot of reasons, and people will begin to go, there's a lot of reasons for that. And I want to say, really? What are they? Why? Why? Why so downcast? Why so downcast, my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Why are you downcast? God's not left the building. God's not left the world. God's still in control. God's still God. And all of a sudden, we're at this place of being able to say, oh, God. Think about that. Across the world, a gift has been given to the church by God. And all of a sudden, there are countless thousands of people who are considering God for the first time. I can't get my way out of it. I can't buy my way out of it. I can't hope my way out of it. I can't fix my way out of it, but God. Check that out. How many of you guys know anybody, maybe it's you, that you just go, I just don't think there's hope. I'm scared to death. I just don't think there's hope. They're at your work. They're at your school. They're your neighborhood. They're your family. I don't know. It could be a child, spouse. It could be anybody. But you just know somebody that's just like, this whole thing is just rocking their boat. Anybody? You know anybody? Nope. Am I the only one? So I have something I want to put in your hands, and I would love for you to put it in their hands. And it's simply called What Just Happened. Whether you know it or not, you were just prayed for. Someone spoke on your behalf to the living God, and he listened. The Bible calls this prayer. And it's as simple as talking to God and trusting that he hears. You might feel like your life is too much of a mess to talk with God. That means that you are the perfect candidate for prayer. There's a lot more that goes on in here. When we talk to God, we don't always know how or when he'll answer. But we do know that nothing is impossible for him and that he cares about our lives. Powerful things happen in our lives when we ask God for help. Anything from hopeless situations to broken relationships can change when we talk to God. You know somebody? that is just scared, hurting, confused, lost. Where do I go? What do I do? I want to have these available. They'll be at the back door. I encourage you to take as many as you want and put them in the hands of someone who is trying to navigate this hopelessness that's going on their own, and to be able to offer them some tiny little bit of hope, to be able to say, yeah, by name, and I will continue to remember you by name, and to put this in their hands. Can we do that?